We were alerted last night that there had been another drowning at the Blue Rock Adventure Park in Somerset West, and that is the second in 2 months and the fifth in the last 7 years that we know of, four of those happening in the last 4 years. Now, a number of listeners have been contacting us this morning asking for follow-up, what's going on at this place, can we have feedback on last year's tragedy, etc. So I have to say up front, it would appear this is a very, very different set of circumstances, what happened yesterday compared to what happened last year. And I want to start by getting a sense of what happened before we recap what has happened with regard to the case last year. We were hoping to chat to the NSRI, who had said they would speak to us now about what, because they were on scene yesterday, but they've just pulled out of that interview, I'm afraid. So let me start with the conversation we had earlier today with somebody directly involved in the resort. And then a little bit later, we'll talk to a representative of the company whose employee drowned last year about developments in that case, and to a lawyer for some of the sort of bigger picture questions around who is responsible for public safety in a private space. First, though, some feedback from Blue Rock. Now, we spoke about an hour or two ago to the owner and director of the resort, Lucas Reichmuch. We did invite him to join us on air. He declined to do so because he did not feel confident to conduct an interview in English live on air. It is not his first language. He did, however, give us his description on the record of what happened. And what he told us was that this incident yesterday occurred at the professional diving school, which uses a section of Blue Rock for its specialized training. This is a very, very deep lake, remember, up to 60 meters in depth. So it is used for specialized advanced diving training. Lucas told us that the victim yesterday was a Russian man in his 20s who was a qualified Navy-trained diver who was doing specialized advanced training at that diving school. The details of what happened are unclear. It appears he was around 5 meters underwater when he took his dive mask off. Nobody seems to quite know why he did that, whether he was experiencing some kind of difficulty with his equipment, had panicked. We don't know. We don't know what led to that action, but the result was he found himself in difficulty 5 meters down. Lucas told us there was a dive instructor in the water with him who tried to assist in the water, got him to the surface, tried to do mouth-to-mouth without success, got him to the side of the lake. Emergency services were called, and the NSRI then were called to the scene and took over, but unfortunately were not able to resuscitate the man. Blue Rock are busy drafting a detailed statement. They've said they'll send that to us once it's ready, and we will share it with you once we receive it. As I said, I was hoping to speak to the NSRI for their view on what happened next, but unfortunately they've just a minute ago pulled out of that interview. So that's what we know about what happened yesterday. There are very few details available, and I want to be clear, we are not insinuating that there was any wrongdoing on anybody's part at this point. We simply do not know. A number of you, though, were asking what happened with regard to the drowning last year. So we'll go there next and then speak to the bigger legal issues. On the line with me is Chantal Crampton, who is Sales and Marketing Director at Splashworks SA. They are the company at which Thandorm Pandey worked. He's the young man and father who drowned in December last year during their company Christmas function. Chantal, thank you for joining us today. I know when we last spoke, you were all terribly traumatized by what you had experienced and seen that day. And I'm sure the description of what happened yesterday must bring it all back in a terrible way, but thanks for being willing to talk to us today.
Thank you, Pippa. Thank you.
What has happened since we last spoke? When we talked in December, you had indicated you were very unhappy with the way Thando's death had been dealt with on site. You were unhappy about safety provisions and the response of lifesavers, etc., and that you did intend to take the matter further. Can you talk us through what has happened since then?
Thank you, Pippa. Sure, no problem. So since that day, we helped the family with financially transporting the Thando back up to Zimbabwe, which unfortunately he only managed to get to Zimbabwe in sort of the early parts of January because of paperwork and all sorts of things. So it was a very difficult time for the family, and they kept us informed all the way. I spoke to Princess yesterday and the wife, and she's doing better, but obviously still battling. We're helping them with the education of their son, which we're sorting out. In terms of what we've done over and above that, with all the feedback that we got from Facebook, telephone calls, messages, it was an outpour of so much emotions over that time for us. And we just found out more and more about people that had actually been on site and what they had experienced. One of the guys even put a YouTube video online to show what happened when he was pulled out of the water. And, you know, it's so clear about, you know, the feelings that we had in terms of how Blue Rock had actually handled the whole situation. Furthermore, someone had actually posted online that we should contact the DA counsellor called Stuart Pringle, and he put some information online. So I followed all of that up with City Health and Safety, and I also contacted the Principal Inspector Lawrence Faree from City Law Enforcement. On both occasions, unfortunately, they told us verbally and on mail that it wasn't their jurisdiction, so we would have to find other ways to try to get Blue Rock. Well, the whole intention was Blue Rock needs to be a safe place. They need to have lifeguards and buoys and whatever they needed to make this place a safe place, but we felt that it wasn't. There wasn't enough. In fact, there weren't any lifeguards when we were there. There wasn't any signage, etc. So that's what we were trying to do, and no one could help us. So then what we ended up doing, and especially after hearing about what happened yesterday, which just brought everything back, we've decided that we're going to follow the legal route, because we've tried to, you know, speak to the local enforcement and law enforcement. They couldn't help us. So if I may, Pippa, we would like to appeal to all listeners who has any information pertaining to the drowning or our drowning that we experienced, and any drowning that they've experienced where health and safety was a concern. And if they could please contact us, may I say...
Sure. Please do give your details.
Thank you. Lisa, LISA, at splashworks.co.za. And the subject line, it could please be My Blue Rock Story. And we will follow up and collate all that information, and we will hand it over to our attorneys to follow through. So we hope that, this could enforce that Blue Rock actually does something to make this place a safe place.
Chantal, I'm intrigued. You sent us some of the correspondence between the various departments, and one of those was an email to the Provincial Health Department asking, please, can someone investigate the venue and check whether there is sufficient in place in terms of safety protocols and personnel and equipment, etc., the things that you were concerned were perhaps lacking on the day in December when you lost your colleague. They responded, as you've said, it's not our jurisdiction. Health is only responsible for hospitals and clinics. We don't cover recreational areas. But they did say in that email, here are city authorities to contact who would have responsibility for safety and health in recreational spaces. So you're saying to us, did follow that link and you got the same response, it's not our jurisdiction.
Right, exactly.
Okay, carry on.
So at some point you stop trying to contact, you know, what else do you do? So when we decided to give December a break, came back, and obviously this thing happened yesterday again, and we thought, this has got to stop.
Okay. We did invite someone from City of Cape Town to join us on air today, but we got the same response, that this is not our jurisdiction. It is a private facility, and we cannot speak to safety facilities on site. I'm going to ask a lawyer whether that is a fair response in just a moment. But one last question. Chantal, I think when we spoke in December, you were at a police station thinking of laying charges. Did nothing come of that either?
That wasn't me.
It wasn't you. Sorry. Okay. It was somebody else. All right. Apologies for that. Chantal, anything else you'd like to say? Just to recap, that email is lisa@splashworks.co.za. Is there anything else you'd like to say with regard to your experience?
I wouldn't wish this on anyone. It was horrible, and it's all very traumatic for all of us. Coming back to work on the 6th of December, of January, you know, our guys have been through counselling, but it's going to take a long time for us to recover. And please, everyone, just let's work together and let's try and sort this out. This is our town. These are our people. We can't have this. We can't allow this.
Chantal,
please help me, and let's try and get this done. Thank you.
Thank you, Chantal. Thank you. I know, I understand it must be incredibly emotional for everybody at Splashworks today to have it all brought back like this. Chantal is sales and marketing director at the firm Splashworks SA, which was the employer of Thando, who lost his life in December last year, Thando Mpande. Okay, so listening into those conversations was Richard Spoor, who is a public interest lawyer, and I invited him to join the conversation today to talk to us about the bigger issues here, because once again, I want to emphasize we have no idea of the details of what happened yesterday. We are not trying to assign blame or liability anyway, but I am struggling with this roundabout of who is ultimately responsible for public safety at a private facility. And of course, it's an issue which is very topical this week and this month, given what we've seen happen with the Parktown Boys High School tragedy and a couple of other such cases. Richard, thanks for being willing to join us on air today. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Let's start with the owners of private facilities. What requirements rest upon their shoulders in terms of making sure that the people who come in and use them are going to be safe doing so?
Well, in the first instance, they have a common law duty to take care of people who are using their facilities. Just like any owner of any premises or any building or anything else, they have a common law responsibility to take reasonable measures to ensure that people are kept safe. Then there is a statutory obligation that rests on them in terms of the Occupational Health and Safety Act, which also covers the safety of people on the premises other than employees. So they have a duty to look after the safety of the employees, but also people who visit their premises. So in terms of who's got jurisdiction over an accident like this, it includes the Department of Labor, who need to check whether or not there's been compliance with the Act. And the fairly stringent procedural steps that need to be taken to ensure the safety of the place. In particular, risk assessments and periodic risk assessments and responses to those. Those are statutory requirements that people must comply with. And if they don't, it's an offence under the Act. And if they were negligent, if they breached the common law, it's also a criminal offence. Which means that the police also have jurisdiction. So who's got responsibility to look into this? Well, the police have a responsibility if negligence is involved. Department of Labor has responsibility if there's been a violation of the provisions of the Act. Then the issue that's arisen is about what's the municipality's responsibility. Well, the municipality has the power and authority to intervene. The municipality has licensed these premises, whether it's through a special zoning or a consent use, and the municipality has the power to draft and enact bylaws governing safety in private places. So Cape Town, for example, has private regulations around private swimming pools. Swimming pools need to be fenced and guarded, and there are standards that are enforced. I had a quick look through the City Council's bylaws, and I couldn't, on the face of it, find something dealing with public resorts. But certainly that lies within their competency, and there's no reason whatsoever why they shouldn't regulate health and safety standards at private resorts. I believe the problem is simply that they haven't done so. But certainly they are able to do that.
Okay, so that's really interesting. So you're saying if members of the public are coming to the city saying, we believe there is an issue here, we would like it to be investigated, and they're saying, it's a private facility, not our problem, they're actually not, they are overlooking their obligations as the licensee of those facilities.
Absolutely, just as they have responsibility for buildings that house explosives or fuel or anything else. Safety of buildings, whether they're public or private, is a fundamental concern of the local authority. There is no difference between a building that poses a fire hazard and a building that provides a facility that creates a drowning hazard. It's the same idea, it's the same principle, and they're authorized to get involved and take steps to protect citizens.
Okay, well, we're going to be clipping that segment and sending it straight back to City of Cape Town this afternoon. Thank you for stating it so emphatically. Richard, a lot of people asking on the SMS line about the indemnity form, the enter at your own risk sign. We know Blue Rock has both of those in place. You are required to sign an indemnity form if you go in. There are signs at the entrance saying you enter and use these facilities at your own risk. Obviously, this issue of indemnity forms has cropped up with regards to the school camp issue with Parktown Boys as well. can you just talk to how much weight those documents and signs have? They don't absolve you from the responsibility to ensure proper maintenance of safety requirements, surely.
Well, the law that has application here is the Consumer Protection Act. So when you enter into a resort like that, you pay your fee and you use the facilities, that's a contract. Blue Rock is a service provider and you're a consumer and you're covered by the provisions of the Act. Now, the Act imposes very stringent obligations on the part of a provider of services like Blue Rock on the warnings that they have to give to people and communicate. So, for example, you know, the law, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, where the supplier of an activity or facility is subject to any unusual risk, or the risk could result in serious injury or death, then the provider of that service must specifically draw the fact, nature, and potential effect of that risk to the attention of customers in a form and manner that meets the standards set out in Section 49. Section 49 says it's got to be clear, it's got to be, it must identify the dangers, the risks, and the consequences. People must see it before they get into the premises, before they buy their ticket. And it needs to be easily understandable to everybody, not only if you speak English or Afrikaans, but it should be available for and accessible for all kinds of visitors. That notice, I understand at Blue Rock they also sign indemnity forms and use written indemnity. So the notice provisions on themselves are not sufficient. It depends on what they say, where they are, how clear and how understandable they are, and if they pertinently bring people's attention to the risk. You can't simply say you enter on your own risk. That's simply not good enough. You've got to say there's a serious drowning hazard here. It's a dangerous environment. We recommend you wear life jackets. If you don't, you know, when you go swimming, you're assuming a risk. You do so at your own volition. But turning to the indemnity forms and the notices, in fact, which are a kind of a contract, these are also regulated by the Consumer Protection Act. And the Act deems agreements, and that notice would form an agreement if you read the notice and go in, or if you sign an indemnity form. That is a notice that indemnifies the service provider against claims for damages for death or personal injury. The Act deems those agreements to be unfair and therefore legally unenforceable.
Okay.
So the onus rests on the supplier of these services, Blue Rock in this instance, to demonstrate that indemnity is valid. And the requirements for that are also quite onerous. Not only must you describe the hazard and have people understand the hazard fully and the steps that you've taken, but you're also under an obligation to take all reasonable steps. When I sign an indemnity form, I assume a certain amount of risk, but the quid pro quo is that you take reasonable precautions. And if you haven't taken reasonable precautions, such as providing life guards or life jackets or putting in place clear warning signs, then you haven't complied with your obligations on the agreement, and the court is very likely to say you haven't discharged the onus to prove the agreement was fair and it's not binding.
Fascinating conversation. I'm afraid we have to leave it there due to time constraints. But Richard Spoor, thank you so much. I wasn't expecting to hear the Consumer Protection Act cited as the relevant legislation here. So it really has been very enlightening. Thank you so much. Richard is a public interest lawyer speaking there to the bigger question of who is ultimately responsible for public safety, even if it is a private facility.